mentioned, we have a few visitors with us today, and we're very happy that you've come to be with us. I don't know if you're a member of the Lord's Church, but you might not be a member of the Parkview Church, because we're a local church. You may be a member of another church, but you're an individual. You have a soul, and we care about the souls of men. Even one soul is precious. And we think about the church, and we think about people and how they relate to one another. It becomes very important. Just think for a moment. We got a sign that says the Parkview Church of Christ. And if you came in here and we had individuals here, but we didn't sing, we had no public prayers, we didn't have maybe serving the Lord's Supper, you had to come serve yourself or and set up here. What kind of service would that be? What kind of church would that be? Just sit here and, well, I'm going to soak up everything else. Well, there ain't nothing to soak up, because there's no individual doing anything. But we've had leaders at the Lord's Supper table leading our minds in prayer. We all could start out on the same word and note in our Bible, in our psalm books. And we could blend our voices together. We could sing those words, and we're involved in singing praise unto God and edifying one another. And it's acting as people, individuals, yes, but we're not sitting here as being nothing. We're engaged. And you may not be a member of our church, but we don't have choirs. You can participate in the song service. You can follow the lead in the prayers. Take the Lord's Supper and think about that, as we're encouraged to do. And you can listen to the sermon and realize that here is acting taking place. Individuals are working in order for what is supposed to be happening in the church to happen. But we need to understand that the church is not the building. There are concepts about that. Well, that's a nice church. Well, you're talking about the people, and you're talking about the building. A lot of people are just talking about the building. That's a beautiful place. But we know from our Bible, that's not the church. I think this picture is probably from the 70s or 80s. I don't see people look like that today, going to churches. Just an observation. But family's there, and this is church, and but the church is not the building, and the individual is not the church. And we begin to realize that, I understand the distinction, but how do they relate? And when we get through this morning, you're going to be kind of tired when you realize I'm a member of the church. Of what responsibilities you have to a local body. And we'll also realize what the church is supposed to be doing. I think a younger generation needs to understand that. And each generation, that's important. So I want us to begin at the first. The individual is not the church. We understand that. But how did individuals get in the church? In Acts, the second chapter, verse 41, the first time the gospel is preached to save souls, Jesus is in the right place in his kingdom in heaven. And now the gospel can be preached in his name, and people received that word, were baptized, verse 41. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls that day. Added to them, we just listened to the preaching. Verse 47, the King James translation, they were added to the church daily, such as were being saved. So we're added to something. An individual is added to something. About 3,000 souls were added to something. And from this point onward, it is indeed the church. That entity is distinct. But an individual is involved in comprising the church. That's why it's called ecclesia a lot in our New Testament, this word church. means called out. You can be called out as being a group going to set of laws. But this one is the fact that we've been the church. And indeed, what is that? He put all things in subjection to the Lord, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus is the head of this spiritual body comprised of individuals, not brick and mortar, individuals comprised the church. And they've been called out by the gospel in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. He called you through our gospel as he's speaking to the Thessalonians, called you through our apostle Paul is speaking, writing. And it's our gospel, not that I did it a gospel. That's the gospel I'm preaching. And there's only one gospel. That's the faith that we're supposed to believe. But we've been called out. We've been called out to be in someplace else. I'm not in my car anymore. I'm not in my house anymore. I'm not a father and a mother anymore. I still am. But I have a new relationship too. I have been added to the church. Ephesians 1, places where we're not talking about a local church, even that Jerusalem was a local church, but you're baptized into the spiritual body. All people all over the world are baptized into one body. But they're not all in one local church, are they? But it's comprised of that. The individual and the church can be distinguished and realize, well, there's the church, and then I don't have nothing to do with it. No, I comprise the church. In a locality, I am a member of that church. So what is that going to do? I got responsibilities. And so we see, well, what does the Bible speak of responsibilities? We're members, not of the church, we're members one of another. See, it's people. And now we're members one of another. Romans the 12th chapter, verse 1, we have many members. But there is indeed only one body. For even as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office. They have not the same service that they're offering. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally, distinctively, individually, members of the church. Well, members one of another. Relationships. All of a sudden, I am involved with a locality of Christians that I have a particular responsibility for and caring for. And I have a work to do. And he begins to talk about it. Now we're in the first century. Miraculous gifts. They didn't have the written words yet, but they had the concept of the church, what it's supposed to be. And being members of one another, there would indeed be prophets. In verse 7, starting back with verse 6, and having gifts differing according to grace that was given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Here was message coming from God in order to teach others. And they were inspired of God to do that. Now they're members one of another, and they had a role to play. So sure, they're just like the preacher. This is prophecy coming from God, so we'll know what the truth is. And he says, all ideas, also verse ministry, which is service. It's where we get our word deacon, ministry here in the American Standard. Let us ourselves to our ministry. Let's give ourselves to that serving. Or he that teacheth to his teaching. He that exhorteth to his exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, I didn't know he or she needed some mercy today. Why do you not know that? Why is it? Because we're members one of another. Well, I gave this morning. Gave my money. I didn't give that just to anybody. I gave it to the Parkview Church. Use it. God teaches us to do it. If that's all it was, would we be members one of another? as the New Testament teaches us. See, this prophecy, this is something that was going to be not permanent. It's going to be transitory because the word is going to come to completion. The idea of what's writing is now going to be fulfilled. Everything's going to be written what God would have us to know. So we pick that up in verse 8 through 10. He says, love never faileth, but whether there are prophecies, they shall be done away. Oh, that's at the end of time. No. Let's read on. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. Knowledge? I thought we needed knowledge all the time. Well, this special knowledge. Speaking in tongues could be a sign that indeed, I didn't know that language. God must be behind that and let somebody else interpret it. It was to confirmation, revealing confirmation. For we know in part and prophesy in part, a little bit at a time. But when that which is perfect is come, not Jesus, that, not he, that, in this context, it's not the masculine, it's neuter. It's that, it's something. That which is in part shall be done away, and when that which is perfect is come, that which is completed is come. That's when prophecy and these miraculous gifts be done away. But we still got now the completed word, and we got the church. And begin to realize, well, this is being one of, we're serving one another, edifying one another, caring for one another, showing mercy, and doing that with tenderness from deep down, not just on the surface. We're really members one of another. And so, what about those who rule? Who are those? The word there in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, ruling means standing before. They are leading. And what we have are individuals, men, qualified, Timothy and Titus, as they were written to help us understand that indeed there was a church, and then they had their leaders who stood before them. Well, Philippians 1 and verse 1, there's a local church in Philippi. It's filled up with saints. These are living people sanctified by the blood of Christ with their bishops and deacons, with their overseers and servants known as deacons. They had them. We got them. And the elders are the ones that ruling, not the deacons. Some have deacons without elders. Some denominations do. Deacons hire and fire. And you got the one pastor who is the pastor. Well, pastors are men of age, and they're bishops in the New Testament. And the church had them. Acts 14:23, they appointed elders in every church. That was not every denomination. No denominations. It's the church. Local churches had their local rule, overseeing their local flock. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, they were to be an ensample to the followers. They're leaders. They're shepherds. That's why they're called pastors. They're the ones that are leading in that way. And they rule, Hebrews 13:17, they rule over you. And the members, we care about them. We care about those elders. We want them to be able to do so with joy, knowing they're going to have to give an account of their activity here in the church at Parkview, in all the local churches, for what they've done. Let's make it easy on them. All they're doing is trying to help us stay on track. Let's stay on track. Just love one another. And realize that these are things being done, and it's part of how the church is organized. It's not a board of directors. It's not people out here trying to make decisions and buy property and all that sort of thing. They're going to lead the church. These are spiritual leaders in every local congregation. That's how God organized it. And all of a sudden, we see individuals have responsibility in the Lord's church. and we have the same care one for another. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I don't know how you go 35 to 26, but we're going to not do that. Verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, but they are members, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That should be verse 25. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. We are a body, but what is this body? We care for each other. We're not jealous, envious. When one has great news, we rejoice with them. When another one is saddened and suffers, all the members suffer with it. All the members, not just one or two. So we put out a bulletin, this local church. The backside of it, we try to keep our members listed of issues that are going through. You can talk to them and call them. What's that to do? It's just to keep us together. And sometimes we don't know what's happening to other people because we don't know. You say, well, you can know. I missed them. You have an individual responsibility to check with them and then tell me about, hey, we need to put them in the bulletin. And I'll do that. Sometimes you got to realize there's people say, I don't want in the bulletin. And I don't put them in there. They have their reasons. But it's not because they don't care for people cared about them. Sometimes it's not that big a deal. Anytime you cut on yourself, it's a deal to me. But we kind of appreciate that. We're not going to force it on anybody. But that's there to keep us up to date. Do we read it? Do we care about that? And that's the idea. We're members one of another. We are involved. And just not caring about our families. We're caring about this family, the Lord's family at Parkview. So what do? We're assembling this morning. We assemble for worship. What takes place? We've had the Lord's Supper. You're listening to preaching now, proclaiming the gospel. I'm not giving a book report. I'm giving something that we need to apply to our lives. And we've been singing, and we've been praying, and we've been giving. Well, why do we do that? Because the Bible tells us so. We're following the New Testament. Not how to have a successful church according to modern standards. Not how to get the people in and then try to find out how you're going to keep them in. No, we're here to be in worship. And some may come and they get a taste of that. But you're going to get a taste of what the New Testament church is, not what our culture wants. And there's a difference. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we're considering one another, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some. Some were not even assembling at all for whatever reason, persecution, what have you, lack of faith. Maybe they don't care. Consider one another. Why should I do that? I'm a member, especially a locality. And I realize in assembling together, on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, Paul says they were gathered together to break bread on the first day of the week. And he preached. Breaking bread was taking the Lord's Supper like we've done today. We're not to be filled with wine, our culture is, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, the teachings of God that we're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're singing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord, that we have something to teach us. And we're all the choir. We're all engaged. We're not here to view. We're here to participate the best that we can. We're here with prayers. Acts 12:5. The prayers were made in the church for Peter. Why aren't they just killed James? And in verse 7, when it came to Mary's house, there were many there gathered praying. And we can pray for people because prayer goes up to God and God blesses us according to His will. And we pray according to His will. And we give. No one's asking for you to tithe. That's not in the New Testament teachings. That old covenant has been taken out of the way. And now we give with a cheerful heart. We give as we prospered in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. It's as I prospered. And I have to make that decision. No one said a tenth, a tenth, a tenth, a tenth. You find out the more that you're dedicated to God, the more you appreciate what God's done for you, because you see in your lives the blessings you've received. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 that indeed he calls that your seed to grow. Just be a cheerful giver. Give in abundance. But no one's putting a limit on that. No one's putting a, I said, well, it's got to be 10%. Because that sounds biblical. Well, it's Old Testament. But we're a New Testament people. And we give as we prosper. But we care for one another. We invest ourselves into the lives of people without being a busybody. And sometimes I just don't want to be a busybody because we don't want anybody messing with our business. We're all to be giving. All to be receiving. And that's the spiritual body of Christ that's important. So what has this church business all about? Well, we take care of those in need. These are not all of them, but all the passages that deal with benevolence from the church's treasury. Indeed, they were to help needy saints. They were Christians. Not people in the world, but needy Christians. Well, who cares about them? Individuals do. But we're talking about the church right now. Yes, it's comprised of individuals. But what did this collective group, called out people, do? What was their work as a church? Not as a particular family, not a particular ethnic group. Or what was their work as a church? We're going to help needy saints. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 tells us that's what the church is concerning the collection for the saints. He's writing to a local church in Corinth. For the collection of the saints, that's who it's for, it's Christians. As I gave order to churches of Galatia, every local church is supposed to be doing this. So also do ye, upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as this translation has, as he may prosper, that no collection be made when I come. They've got a problem in Jerusalem. New other parts of the New Testament bring that to our attention. That there are the saints in Jerusalem, primarily Jews, who are now Christians. And here are these churches in Galatia, Macedonia, Corinth, primarily Grecian, coming out of pagans, idolatry. And Paul says we need to help those brethren over there. You know, we're in the Lord's church, we belong to one another, and we need to help. Need to help physical needs being satisfied, their needs. And that's what they did. But back before this need was there, when the church would begin in Acts 2 and verse 44 and 45, we find when they received that word, they began to fear God because they saw the miraculous signs that were doing by the apostles. And they had all things in common. They were together as believers and had all things in common. What does that mean? They sold their possessions and sold their goods. And they gave to him that had need. That Christian who had need. They did that. Acts 4:34-35, you begin to realize there was a treasury started. Because here they were helping those who were believers. realizing the miraculous signs done by the apostles. They're from God. Now, what I need to do with my people? They sold their possessions. They laid it at the feet of the apostles. They're combining our resources and giving to anyone that had need. That's not socialism. Because you still can own property. Because the moment you sold everything you had, you'd be in need. What do you have to give next year? Next time? Nothing. I'm in need. There'll be times when some are in need, when some are not. You can own your property. It's not socialism. People say, look what the church is. It's socialism. Therefore, we can have it in our country. Well, you want it, you got it. We may have it. But the church wasn't socialism. Is that people had their property. They had a heart that says, I'm going to give to my brother who's in need. Because we're members one of another. And we see that's exactly what they did. Acts 11, 29 and 30. There indeed was a need that came up. And on that occasion, they gave it to the elders of the church. And they took care of their needs. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1, we're still, who are we talking about? This is where we're talking about the needy saints in 1 Corinthians 16, 1. He writes the second epistle, let's get the job done, far as touching the ministering in to the saints. You just need to realize, I'm talking about the giving here, that you need to finish it. Verse 6, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap also sparingly. If you sow bountifully, shall reap bountifully. Let each man do according as he hath purchased in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful what? Giver. He's speaking about get your contribution that you promised. And what is it done in 1 Corinthians? I want to lay by in store so there'll be no collections when I come. I don't want to go to your house. I'll lay by in store at the house. They had a treasury. We have a treasury. What do we do with that treasure? It's to help needy saints. And we give cheerfully. Verse 12 and 13, for the ministration of this service not only filleth up the measure of the wants of the saints, but about also through many thanksgivings unto God. Prayers are going up to God. Here's God's people being helped. And you know what? Primarily they're Gentiles helping Jews. They're showing obedience to the gospel that we're all one man in Christ. What a beautiful thing. Because they had a heart that cared. In Romans the 15th chapter, Paul is on his way to deliver that bounty with all the others that the local churches wanted to send with him. Each local church could send his messenger. It's been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints that are at Jerusalem. So we follow that standard. And we're quick to help needy saints. How individuals are going to have to be given to a treasury. For that's how the church, as a collective now, that's how we do things. We work through the treasury. We may give it to an individual to give it to somebody. It may here give it to the elders to give to somebody. But it comes from the sources that individuals have put together because they care. And because they love God. They reverence God. This is his body at work. Edification. We build up the saints. We do that through teaching. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 16. We see this body being built up. Of course, this time they had inspired men that were involved in bringing the message. But he says, verse 12, so they're there for the perfecting of the saints under the work of ministering, under the building up of the body in Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man. They're there until we get the completed word, but then it doesn't stop there. Individual brethren, we got to measure up to a full-grown man of the measure of the stature, not my fellow brethren, but Christ. That's work. That's a glorious work. I got a purpose. I want to be like Christ. I want to, if I were going to be complete, I'm going to be like Christ. And all we're doing is encouraging one another in order to accomplish that. And you see in verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in each due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body and the building up of itself in love. That's work. That's caring. That's being involved. It's just not being a picture is in the directory. I'm a member here. And we edify by being here this morning, building each other up through, by our assembly. But the church can use its funds in order to have materials to teach and build. We do that. What about evangelism? Well, that's for the preacher. Well, I'm an evangelist. Have work to do in preaching the gospel. But we all have a part in that. Look at Philippians, the first chapter. And in verse 5, begin to realize that here was the church involved in spreading of the gospel. It says, he was thankful for their fellowship and the furtherance of the gospel from the first day unto now. He's speaking to the saints. What are they? They're furthering the gospel. Well, how did that happen? Philippians 4, verse 15 says, ye yourselves know, ye Philippians. Now he's talking to individual, ye Philippians. Ye saints in Philippi, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once again to my need. What was his need? But the point is furtherance of the gospel. He needed help as he preached the gospel. And those who gave had fellowship with the one who's preaching. Because they were helping. And the church was involved. Paul says, I robbed other churches. Paul writes to the Philippians, no other church helped me during that time. But Paul said, I robbed other churches. 2 Corinthians 11, 8. So he could be ministering to the Corinthians. Because there's some there that he takes money, therefore he's no good. He's a bad man. He's a devil. Because he took money. So he said, I'm not taking money. But he took money from other churches. They didn't have a problem with that. And Paul didn't have a problem with it. He writes to him about chapter 9. He has a right to be supported. But he forgoes that, so they couldn't use that against him. And he said, I robbed other churches. He didn't rob other individuals. He robbed other collectivities of individuals who give. And give cheerfully. And are involved in the preaching of the gospel. But there's some individuals there that were not apostles, and they were preaching the gospel as well. Colossians 1 in verse 7, Epaphras, is he one of the 12? No. Even as ye learned of Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. He had allowed them to hear the gospel. Wouldn't Paul? But he was helping. He was involved as I'm a Christian. And he was a minister helping there. Got Philip in Acts 8 and verse 4. Because of persecution, people were scattered. They went about preaching and teaching. Acts 11, 19 and 20. As they come to Antioch, there's some been preaching just to the Jews, others are preaching to the Gentiles, because Acts 10 opens the door to the Gentiles. Individuals were strong in wanting to share that gospel with others. And they were members of the body of Christ. They were living in localities. Some were being driven from their locality, and they went other places to preach and teach. And we as individuals who comprise the church can do that too. We need to pray that open doors will be there, and pray for those who, pray for your preacher, that open doors will be for him so I can find people and do my work and you support me, so I don't have to have a secular job to do that, but I'm willing to do that because the gospel means everything. So what's happening? Individuals are giving to finance that. We're not having bake sales. We're not having things like to get money from people and get them interested. We're giving as we prosper because our mind's dedicated. Here is helping our fellow saints. Here's preaching the gospel to the lost. Here's building up the body of Christ. At the same time, we're caring for one another. And that becomes the work of being a member. That's done by individuals in order to accomplish what the work of the church is. But you look around you in the religious world today, what is church? Is having concerts? They're having these going away to mountains resorts in the summer, in the winter, and spend a week of a conference, and only 3 hours a day for only 2 days they are involved in any study. The rest of the time they're playing. They go back, we had a wonderful conference. We love the Lord. Look how really that's happened. The culture has come in and it's now the church in so many places. And we need to be reminded, what is the church? And I have a part in that. And how am I functioning as a member of the local church? Sometimes there's distinct individual responsibility that the church has no business doing. Because see, I'm not only a member of a local church, I'm in a society. And New Testament times, this is how orphans and the poor, how the widows were taken care of. Individual responsibility. In Galatians 2 and verse 10, Paul would understand with Peter that they're on the same page. They're not going along with Judaizing teachers and so forth. But Galatians, the second chapter, here was something that they left on when he speaks about that meeting that they had. In Galatians 2 and verse 10, we read this. Only, back up to verse 9. He said, when they perceived the grace that was given me, James and Cephas and John, they all were reputed to be pillars, gave to me, and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, unto the circumcision. And only they would that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was also zealous to do. I want fire for that. That's something that's part of the Christian's DNA. Remember the poor. And as an individual, I need to remember that all the time. Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, as you have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, especially toward them that are the household of the faith. I've got my church responsibilities, and I got my life out here in the world responsibilities. Same individual, same group of individuals. But we have a responsibility in the world that we live in, as we have opportunity to help those who don't have parents, help those that don't have a husband, and realize that that is on me. It's not on the church. It's on me. And that's not what you see today. But in James, the first chapter in 27, very much personal responsibility. Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows. It means visit. I just take a look at you and say, bye, yeah, I visited. No, it's overseeing. I'm visiting to see what the issue is. Do you need help? Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's not the church. That's you and me as an individual. I got to keep myself unspotted from the world as I'm going to be open-hearted to try to take care of those in need that I come across. And I hope that's what we do. But we need to understand in doing that, I need to take care of my own family. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verses 4 and 8, Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy and the things that Timothy needs to relate to the brethren. He says, any widow hath children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety towards their own family. So here's a widow, and this passage, not indeed. She has somebody out there. And if she's under 60, she can't be enrolled to help, because there are specifics about that. They want the younger widows to marry, have children. But the widows indeed had nobody, and there were saints. Church would be taking care of them. But listen to this. If any widow has children, I'm a widow, I've got children and grandchildren. Let them learn first to show piety towards their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. And he says the widow indeed is one that the help is desolate, and so forth. In verse 8, but if any provideth not for his own, especially his own household, he had denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I've got grandchildren, but they're not Christians. And they're not going to take care of their own. You're worse than an unbeliever. Unbelievers, you're bad if you don't take care of your own. But I said, wonder if we are grandchildren and children. Grandchildren? Yes, grandchildren and children. You got to take care of mom. They have to take care of dad. Who's responsible for that? Who's responsible for all the homeless people out here in the world? They're shooting up with crack. They're shooting up with all their drugs. They don't have a place to stay. I like churches that keep half of their rows open for all of the people in our homelessness. That's the church. That's following Jesus. The social gospel. And that's what I look for, to be the church that follows Christ. It's not based upon the New Testament. We're to reach those people with the gospel to save their souls. But I've talked to people out on Skid Row, so to speak, talked to them about the gospel. No, they don't want it. A lot of the times they don't. Some want it for a few weeks so they can get some money or to get some food, and they'll move on their way. But that's an individual providing that, the people in the world. That's how God set it up. But the church is in so many things. That's supposed to be the church today. When he invented the church, and it's according to his eternal purpose, this is the way it's supposed to be. It wasn't like that. The church wasn't supposed to be responsible. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, if any woman that believeth hath widows, let her relieve them, and let not the church be burdened, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed, that they could take care of, that were saints and so forth. Let not the church be burdened. But a lot of times people say, what the individual can do, the church can do. That's a lie. This passage teaches differently. There was things that an individual must do that the church is not to do. Individual is distinct from the church. The church is a collectivity of individuals. But we've seen this morning, it's busy taking care of responsibilities in the church. But it's out here in the world taking care of people that come across and we have opportunity to help. By what authority does the church get in that kind of business? Jesus healed people, so let's have hospitals. Let's do any type of work that we have to do there. We're going to set up marriage counseling. And, we could teach the Bible on that. But the idea of teaching. So we'll have resorts to go to. And we'll buy that property and use that in order to be what the church is supposed to be. Because we'll put it under the umbrella of this is church. Church was helping needy saints, teaching ourselves the Word of God, evangelizing. We can do it through our treasury, but we do it through our hearts and individual activities everywhere we go in our week. And we take care of our personal responsibilities. Realize that's not the work of the church. Let the church be the church. That's what happened, but I want to say, let the individual be working. Because you've got work about the church, and you got work in life. That's what it means to be a Christian. And all of that is full of blessings. It's not a wasted life, but it's when all that we do, indeed, will not ever be in vain when we do things this unto the Lord. So this morning, I wanted just to kind of remind us what is the work of this church. And we're trying to do that. We're trying to do it better. We spread the gospel, but we also are involved in making sure we're all spreading the gospel. We're all members of one another. We care for one another and hope that will continue with that love. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one. If we need to study, so you'll know what to do to be saved, we're here to do that. But you may already know it, and you've just been putting off coming a Christian. It's the best life you could ever live. Obey the gospel now as we can help you. Come, as we stand and sing.